Have your Bibles. We want to turn to Romans and the chapter 8, the book of Romans and the chapter 8. While you're turning to that passage, give you an all warm word welcome to the prayer meeting and Bible study tonight. And we pray the Lord will bless us as we come around His Word and also as we come later to the throne of grace to pray. So Romans and the chapter 8. And we're going to commence to read this familiar passage, no doubt, to all of us at the verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin, sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Trust the Lord will bless that reading of His Word to all of our hearts. I want to speak in that little phrase in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The leading of the Spirit of God. That's what I want to speak on tonight. The leading of the Spirit of God. Let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer. Father, we pray tonight for thy blessing. Lord, we need thee. Lord, the word is empty without thee in it. We pray that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon the word of God here tonight. Thou wilt make it a blessing, Lord, to the preacher and to the congregation alike. And tonight in this place, we will hear the word of God, the voice of God coming to our souls. We pray thou close us in with thyself, and you'll defeat every distraction, Lord, of Satan, that will come against us tonight to steal away the blessing. Lord, may it be the petition of all your children now. Lord, give me a blessing. Give us a blessing tonight and glorify thy great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 14 says, For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. One of the great titles in the Bible of God's people is the sons of God. The Bible shows us God in His mercy has taken sinners out of the clutches of the devil, and by His great mercy and His great power, He has turned us into the sons of the living God. And John could write in 1 John 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It was not something that was going to happen in the future. No, when John wrote this epistle, this was something that had happened to him. It had happened to the people that he was writing to. He says, now are we the sons of God. It's been great tonight to be a son of God. That day we trusted Christ, John 1 and verse 12 says, For as many as received him, to them give he power to become, what? The sons of God. And that day we were saved. And that day we turned from our sin. And that day we received Christ. That's all we had to do. Receive Christ as our Savior. On that day, we had the authority, we had the power to become the sons of God. It's great tonight to know I'm a son of God. There are things we do not know, but praise God tonight from His Word, those of us who are saved tonight, we can say, I am a child of the King, the son or the daughter of the Lord. Now, being so that we are God's son, God's sons have the life of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it tells us there in the verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We have the Spirit of life within us. And once we were dead, once we were in darkness, once we could not talk to God, once in our life, well, we could not walk with God. But something has happened. The day we became a son of God, we have the life of the Spirit. Now, what a life that is. That's a holy life. We used to walk after sin. But now we have the life of the Spirit. We don't walk after the flesh that he talks about in the passage. That, no doubt, is a holy life. But I'll tell you this, it's a happy life. It's a happy life to be a son of God, and it's a happy life to have the life of the Spirit within us. It makes us joyful in the Lord, and we also have eternal life. And be glad tonight that we're saved. We have the life of the Spirit of God within us. But not only have we got the life of the Spirit, we have the love of the Spirit. Because in Romans 5 and verse 5, just back a few pages, he says this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, why is it today that you and I love God? Why is that? Why does it maybe go around the doors in Kilkeel, and there are people doesn't like God, and there are people doesn't like Christ, and they don't like His Word, and they don't like His law? Why is it tonight in this place we can say we love Christ, we love His Word, we love His Son, we love His law, we love His people? Why is that? Because we have the love of the Spirit in our hearts. It tells us here clearly in Romans 5 and verse 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Because there was a time in our life we did not like God. And there was a time in our life we did not love Christ. But now something has happened. We are the sons of God. We have the life of the Spirit. And we have the love of the Spirit of God shed abroad in our hearts. We are filled with the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. But our text tonight brings us to another lesson. Not the life of the Spirit or the love of the Spirit, but God's sons or God's children are led by the Spirit of God. And he tells us very, very plainly there in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And he tells us a great lesson here, that the Spirit of God leads us. He leads the sons of God. And we were singing that great hymn, and it is a great hymn. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand, He leadeth me. And we're glad tonight in this meeting we can say, yes, we are the sons of God, therefore God leads me. Therefore the Spirit of God, He leads me. Because we're led by the Spirit of God. Why is it? Because we are the sons of God. And tonight in this meeting, everyone saved, we're led by the Spirit of God. By His own hand, He leadeth me. Now I want to be brief on this. I want to think of five places where the Spirit of God will lead us. Now one is, of course, to the Savior. We can see that in the verse 29. From whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, where will the Spirit of God lead me? As a son of God, he'll lead me to Christ. There's no doubt about this. The work, the ministry of the Spirit of God is to lead all of God's children to Christ. And he will lead us to the conformity of Christ. Because the word conform here means to be fashioned like to be made like Jesus. Now I want to tell you tonight, this is the work of the Spirit of God. The Bible talks in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 about sanctification of the Spirit. And he leads me where? To Christ. To make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see his great example. And to see how Christ prayed. And to see how he preached. And to see about his passion and his love for others. And to see about his purity. All of these things. He leads me to Christ. Because Christ is our example. You know in 1 Peter 2 verse 21 it says, "For even hereto unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Christ is our great example in everything. And therefore the Spirit of the living God, he leads me to the Savior. Because he wants me to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And he leads me to Christ. And to look at Christ. And to be like Christ. And to be conformed like Christ. To be conformed to the image of his Son. And that is one place the Spirit will bring us. He'll bring you to Jesus. And I say to you tonight, do you feel yourself being led to Christ? Do you feel a desire within your heart to be more like Christ? I know I lament, and I'm sure everyone in this meeting laments the same, that we're not really like him at all. And there are times where, like the Apostle Paul, who says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But nevertheless, this work is going on. He's leading us to the Savior, to the conformity of Christ. He leads us to the Savior for the cleansing from Christ. You see, the Spirit will lead us to Christ in order for me to be cleansed from our sin. And I think all of us have to be honest tonight before God how many times we fail God. How many times we sin against the God that we profess to love. How many times we're grieved. How many times our heart is full of shame? We need cleansing. I need it. You need it. Every child of God needs it. Every son of God needs cleansing. I tell you this, the Spirit of God leads me to Christ. He'll lead us to Christ. He leads us to the fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he leads us, in a sense, to Calvary. How we feel our filth, and we feel and we fall into sin, but he leads me. He leads me to Jesus. And I'm sure that's happened to you already, even today. When you have failed, you were led to Jesus. You were led to Christ. And you confessed your sin. Listen, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. See, the Spirit of God will lead me to Christ, to the conformity of Christ and the cleansing from Christ. And then what about the comforts from Christ? You see, there are times in this whole life we feel the pressures of it. And there are times God's sons, like we're speaking about the sons of God in this passage, and that's who we are tonight, that's saved. There are times we feel we have had enough in this world. And there's times there are many things are pressing in against us. And we feel, well, we just cannot go on. Remember Elijah? 1 Kings 19 verse 4. He said, "It is enough." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been where Elijah has said, "It is enough. I can't take another step, Lord. I can't go on another minute. I've had, Lord, enough." I tell you this, friends. That's when Holy Spirit steps in. That's when the God comes, the Holy Spirit of God comes along and he helps us in our time of need, and he leads us to Christ. He leads us to the Savior. They come to him knowing that he cares, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He leads them to Christ to get comfort. And they come knowing he is our friend. And they come knowing that he will help them. And they come knowing to Christ to experience again his peace and his joy. You see, he leads the sons of God to the Savior. And that is my experience in my life, and I trust it is the experience of every child of God here. Led by the Spirit of God, he'll bring you to Christ. That's why our life should be full of Christ. That's why our testimony should be full of Christ. Because our whole salvation is to do with Christ. Our whole life is to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he leads me. He leads me to Calvary. And he leads me to Christ, you see. Continually, we're led by the Spirit of God to Christ. I can say a second place. He leads us not only to Christ, but he leads us to the Scriptures. You see, the Bible in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 is referred to as the Holy Scriptures. That's the title. Why are they called the Holy Scriptures? Because the Holy Spirit is the divine author of this book. And we meet people would say to me in door to door work, and perhaps say to you in the workplace, man wrote the book. This is man's word, I'm sure, of all of those arguments. Well, in a sense, man did write the book. But he was only the pen. He was only the pen. God lifted man like you lift the pen and you write on the paper. It's not the pen that's doing the writing, it's you. And God lifted each of these men and he used them like a pen. That's just the way it was. But the Bible tells me this is the work of the Holy Spirit, this Bible. In 2 Peter 1 verse 21 it says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God moved them. What to write, you see. This is God's word. This book is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, it stands to sense, he will lead the sons of God to the book. He will lead us to the Scriptures of truth. He'll lead us to read it. I don't think there's anybody in tonight who doesn't read the Bible. Very easy to get into that, I must confess. Very easy to have your Bible at home, there's dust on it. Very easy to only take your Bible out once a week to church. That's not a healthy sign of a healthy Christian. The Spirit of God will lead us to read the book. To read it. Because he knows that this book is food for our souls. He knows by reading this book, we will get guidance for our lives. He knows that by reading this book, we will see more of Christ and more of his wondrous love for them. And so we're led by the Spirit of God to the book. If you're a son of God, he'll lead you to the book. He'll lead you to the Scriptures. We are to read the Bible. He'll lead you to this. A Christianity that doesn't bother much with the Bible, I wouldn't like to give much for it. This is central to our Christianity and to our Christian experience of walking with God. Led of the Spirit of God. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Where does he lead us? He leads us to the Bible. Have you felt that in your life? Have you felt the Lord leading you to the Bible? Oh, the devil tries to lead you away from it. That's another sermon. And a resistance to the Spirit of God. And what's said to God's people, don't bother to read the Bible. Just leave it alone for today. But listen, the Spirit of the living God will lead us to the Bible. Do you feel yourself drawn to this book? Well, then read it. Read it. Ask God to speak to you. Because the Spirit of God will lead us to read the Scriptures, and he'll lead us to the interpretation of the Scriptures. Because remember the words of Christ in John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. And the Lord Jesus telling us here something of the ministry of the Spirit of the living God. He will guide you. He will lead you. There will be things in the Bible you'll not be able to understand. But he'll guide you. He'll be your teacher. He'll guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. And he tells us here, Christ tells us that the Spirit of God will lead us. And he'll lead us in the Word of God. And he'll lead us to the truth of the Word of God. Remember that great verse in Psalm 119, verse 18? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And here is a psalmist, and he's praying unto God. And he's saying, the Lord, open up mine eyes, that I may behold. Who? The Spirit of God would open up his eyes. The Spirit of God would lead him to the Bible. The Spirit of God would lead him to the interpretation of the Bible. You see, if we are the sons of God tonight and saved by the grace of God, then the Spirit of God will lead me. He'll always lead me to Jesus. He'll always lead me to him. And he'll always lead us to the Bible. If you hear any Christian saying, I'm a Christian, I don't need the Bible, you put a great question mark over them. Because if you're led by the Spirit of God, he'll lead you to this book. He'll lead you to the Bible. Now another place he'll lead us to is to the place, not only the scriptures, but the place of supplication. So you can see that in verse 26 of this passage we read together. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He leads me to the place of supplication, to the place of prayer. Now, we know tonight that prayer should have a great part in the lives of the children of the Lord. In fact, I said tonight, if you read the Bible, it should have a very, very important place in our life. And you remember the words in the Word of God that Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, this young man was left in charge of a church. He had a congregation. He had sermons to preach. He had people to pastor. He had souls to preach to. But here is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and he says this, first of all, supplications and prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. First of all, he says, one, pray. And prayer is first of all. And I want to say to you tonight, the Spirit of God leads us to this first of all place. It's prayer. He'll lead us. He'll lead us, you say. I wonder, did the Spirit of God have to drag you to a prayer meeting tonight? Because I tell you, there are many, many things we can do tonight. And there are many things comes up when it comes to a prayer meeting tonight. And a boy said one time to me, he says, there'll be 100 reasons why I can't go to a prayer meeting tonight. And that may be right. But there's one reason why you should be here. Because you're going to meet with God. And the one reason outweighs the 100 that will keep you at home. The Spirit of God will lead you to the place of prayer. First of all, you see, this is to be first in our life. And the Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 6 verse 6, speaking to his faith, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself talks here about this place of prayer, entering into the closet, entering into the presence of God, closing ourselves into God's presence, and to bring our petitions, whether will they be large or small, to God. The Spirit of God will lead me to the place of prayer. He will lead me there. He knows the importance. Whoever liveth talks here about making intercession for us. We'll come to that in a moment. But prayer is part of our life. In verse 15 it says, we cry, Abba Father. In verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. If I have the Spirit of God in my heart, then I pray. And you can see that in verse 15. We cry, Abba Father, Father. He will lead us to the place of prayer. I know we live in a very busy time. I know people say, I have not got time to pray. But listen, make time. George Mueller was a very godly man, very busy man, and when I read this little quotation about him, he talked about his ministry. And he says, for 40 years I have had annually 30,000 letters. Imagine 30,000 letters coming through your letterbox. It would take 3 or 4 postmen around Kilkee, wouldn't it, to bring them to you? Imagine that coming today. And he said of these letters that most of them went through his hands. Now he had about 9 people working for him, and you would need 9 people working. If you had 30,000 letters alone coming through your door. And these men who were his assistants, they translated correspondence in German, French and English and so on. And then he says, as a pastor of a church, I have 1,200 believers to look after. And not only that, he had his publishing works, the printing, the circulation of millions of tracts and books. And then he had 5 immense orphanages to look after. Now here's a man who's very busy. Ladders and sermons and children and publishing and giving out tracts. But here's what he said. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work till I have had a good season with God. That's amazing, wasn't it? Never to begin. Never to start preaching. Never to go to the orphanages. Never to start the track work. Never to reply to letters. I have made it a rule in my life, in my heart, that I would never begin my work till I had a good season with God. He was led by the Spirit of God to the place of prayer. The priority of it all, first of all. May God lead us to the place of prayer. There are times we feel prompted in our heart to go to pray. Go and pray. Set aside, somebody comes to your heart, and the Spirit of God lays these things on our heart. That's really the lead of God in prayer. He will lead me. By His own hand, He will lead me to the place of prayer and to the petitions of prayer. In verse 26, this is what it's telling us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He will, by His Spirit, bring petitions to it. There are times I don't know what to pray. And if everyone is honest here tonight, perhaps one of the hardest things in the Christian life is prayer. It's true prayer. Really laying hold upon God. Here's the Spirit of God leads me in prayer. He maketh intercession for us according to says to the will of God in verse 27. He gives us the petitions to pray. He dictates our requests. He indicts our petitions. He draws up our plea for us. Christ prays for me in heaven, and the Spirit of God intercedes for us here upon earth. And so He leads me. He leads me to supplications. The Spirit of God will lead you to the place of prayer. Don't resist Him. Don't resist the Spirit of God. Don't fight against Him. Don't tug back against the Spirit of God. He leads us. And He leads us to Christ. And He leads us to the Scriptures. And He leads us to supplications and to pray. But He leads us to something else. He leads us to security. Look at verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Here's another thing the Spirit of the living God does. He will lead us into assurance. He beareth witness that we are the children of God. There are many people doubt they are children of God. I think every one of us here who's saved has had that experience. Am I saved? Oh, the old devil comes along and he says, you're not right with God. And you're not saved. And you're not on your way to heaven. But our friends, the Spirit of God leads us, and He leads us, and He bears witness that we are what? The children of God. He leads us into this security, this assurance that we are saved. Now this is a spiritual work. This is a spiritual work. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. This is the Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can give you assurance. You can talk to people. and that is good. And we can give you scriptures, and that is right. And they help some people at times, but some I want to say tonight, this is a spiritual work. This is an eternal work. It is a work in the heart. This is not only an eternal work, it's an important work. We need to know we're saved. You never enjoy your salvation if you doubt it. You never be a good testimony for Christ if you doubt you're saved. You never be able to stand up and say to people, you know, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to heaven. You never be able to say that if the Spirit of God hasn't led you to security. I remember as a young believer, I had great doubts, was I saved? Oh, the first few months, whatever it was, I doubted. One day I thought I was saved, the next day I didn't know why I was saved or not. But I tell you, there was one time I got the assurance. And I've never lost it from that day. There's many things I don't know. But boys, I know I'm saved. I know I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I tell you this, the Spirit led me to this place. That I'm a son of God. Led me to it, you see. Oh, he reminds us of the Word of God. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He reminds us of the work of Christ, that the blood has been shed, and the blood of Christ has put away all of our sin. It says in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, you see. You see, with this security, that I belong to Jesus. And the Spirit of God leads us to that. And if you have any doubts, you pray to God that the Spirit will lead you to that place. That's a great place to be, to know that you're saved. I heard a story about a woman, a good Christian woman, of course, getting old, her mind was going, and she loved the Word of God. Eventually, she couldn't hardly remember anything. But there was one verse she remembered. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. But you know, as time went on, part by part of that verse slipped her mind. And she just quietly quote, that which I have committed unto him. And she got down near the end of her life and very near death, her family could hear her uttering something, and they bent down to listen to what she was saying, and she kept repeating over and over again just one word of that text. And the one word was this. It was him. It was him. And it was him. She had lost, in a sense, the whole Bible. But one word she had. The whole Bible in that one word. Him. She still had that assurance. She still had Jesus. You see, the Spirit of God will lead us to security. He bears witness that I'm a child of God. Have you got that? Have you got this assurance tonight? The Spirit of God, led of the Spirit of God, he'll take me to this place that I'm a child of God. That's a great place to be. Can I say lastly and very quickly, he'll lead us to souls. In Acts 8 verse 29 it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And here was the Spirit of God. He was guiding Philip to go and speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, go and speak to him. There's a man out there that needs Christ. And the Spirit of God led him. The Spirit of God spoke to him. And he went away down to preach to this man. Here's a man who was lost. Here's a man who was anxious. Here's a man who needed somebody to tell him about Christ. The Spirit of God led Philip to him. In Acts 13 you think of Paul and him and sent out by the Holy Ghost as well to preach, you see. The Holy Spirit will lead us to souls that will see people saved. And that's what I need. That's what you need in her witness, in her testimony for Christ. Lead me to souls. Lead me, Lord. Like Abraham's servant was led by the Spirit of God for a bride for Isaac. May God lead us to souls. To souls. William Booth, a man who was over the Salvation Army, and King Edward VII invited him to the palace, heard all about his great work. And I spoke to him. He says, you're doing a great work, and General Booth. And when he was asked to leave, he asked for his autograph and to write down some words. And the old man, he was 75, bent forward, took a pen, and he wrote these words. Your Majesty, some men's ambition is art. Some men's ambition is fame. Some men's ambition is gold. My ambition is the souls of men. And that's what he wrote for the king. You see, he was led of the Spirit of God to souls. Being led by the Spirit of God. May God lead us. May he lead us, church. May he lead the Sunday school teachers, the youth workers, the elders, the deacons, the congregation. May he lead me, friends, to souls, that we'll see people saved. Because he leads the people of God, the servants of God, to souls, that they might be saved. Being led of the Spirit of God. Five places, as we've noticed, where the Spirit of God leads us. And may he lead us to Christ continually and to his word and to the place of supplications. May he lead us to souls, dear friends. May he lead us to a place of security. Then we can rejoice in the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and staff. May God bless this word to all of our hearts.